over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Hi. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio brings you a platform unlike anything on the internet today. A place where voices are heard, ideas are shared, and friendships are formed. So why not join the information revolution at freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
Welcome to Carrying Stones and Digging Holes to Cultivate Consciousness, where, for the next 2 hours, Bridget Lynn Dolgoff and Kelsey Sweet will be sharing their knowledge and understanding with their own beautifully unique twists on all topics related to helping humanity to achieve betterment of health in body and in mind. Settle yourselves down on this fine Saturday evening. For now, it is time for Bridget and Kelsey.
All right, everybody. Hey, Bridget Lynn Dolgoff in the house. Woohoo, woohoo. Kelsey Sweet in the house. We're the host of Carrying Stones and Digging Holes to Cultivate Consciousness every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And hey, everything that we do here, we volunteer our time 100% for free. Even our management works for free for Revolution Radio. We have over 90 hosts. Please go to our website. We have all different ways now that you can donate. If you're in a foreign country, I think we've got a foreign Dropbox. We've got Patreon. We have shirts and mugs. We have ATM, debit card, snail mail, like every possible way. So just keep our lights on. That's all we ask. Just keep our servers up and our lights on. And all of us will just keep, you know, working our little tail ends off for you. And so, yeah, so also you can go to kelseysweet.com and look up what Kelsey's got going on over there if you want to know more about our show. I have a page on my website, the name of the show, and you can click on that, all kinds of different information about Kelsey and myself and contact information. And so you can go there at coe-llc.com. And that's it, I think. I think that's it. So sorry I'm a little nasally. It's been a really rough week. The eclipse has literally just drop-kicked me this week. So I'm barely holding on to my desk to comply for the show. But anyway, so the guest we were supposed to have last week, he is finally back this week. Hey, Glenn, are you there?
Yes, I am. How's it going?
Good, good. I've had a rough week, though. It's been a tough week, just on a lot of thresholds, but gonna make it. I'm gonna make it. So, hey, Glenn, tell us all of your places that people can go look at all the amazing things that you put out.
Well, I've got a website. It's sovereignty international.fyi. When you go there, you're given an opportunity to exit the matrix or go back to the matrix, you know, the red pill and the blue pill, and everything's an illusion. And so that's my website. I also have a YouTube channel called Sovereign Living. Over 400 videos I've uploaded there, talking about the law and what's happening, current events, mostly about the law and how, you know, all these judges, there's no such thing as a judge. They're all bought and paid for clerks masquerading as judges. There's no courts. We're under a military dictatorship. And once you understand what's happening, there's ways of dealing with it. And do you know who you are? You know, most people have no idea who they are. And so I've also written a book about Trump. It's about the deep state, who they are, where they came from, how they got there, their history. And it again talks about the same kind of stuff, basically, that I talk about in my YouTube videos and on my website, about how everything's an illusion. And Trump is dealing with that illusion, and these people that are the deep state, it's all satanic is what it really is. And but again, and what he's dealing with, I don't know. Did you know there's two national governments?
I was taught that there were three.
Well, there's
three USAs.
There's probably more than that, but right. There's two that I can prove. And there's actually a Supreme Court case that talks about it. Downs versus Bidwell from 1901 said that there's two national governments. One operates within the Constitution and the other one does not. And then if you think about it, in the Articles of Confederation, in Article 1, it says that the style of this Confederacy shall be the United States of America. And then if you look in the what happened is in 1861 the southern states walked out of Congress and they ceased to have a quorum and they couldn't conduct any business, and Lincoln ordered them back under executive authority to reconvene, and they've been operating under executive authority ever since. And now all those people are dead, and so they can't even reconvene if they wanted to. And and then what happened is in 1871, they set up a corporation called United States of America. And you can find that under 28 USC section 3002. It says that the United States is a corporation. And so then once you understand all of that, then what do they got to say to you? Okay, unless you're involved in some contract with them. And any contract has to be knowing, willing, and intentional. But so then it gets more complicated, because then in 1933, that corporation went bankrupt and it was seized by its creditors, and it's now owned and operated by somebody. And the people that own it are Satanists, and they're liars, they're thieves. It's the Roman cult. I call them the Roman cult because, you know, it's the Vatican. There's friends of mine that are Catholic that have been telling me this for years, and I refused to believe it for the longest time, and until it just, the evidence became so overwhelming. So, you know, I call it the Roman cult because there's many, many people, the Catholic people are good people, and I certainly don't want to say anything negative about anything that's anybody that's Catholic, because but it's a certain group that is the Vatican, basically. They're Satanists. They operate under Roman law. There's a maxim of Roman law that says, let he who is willing to be deceived be deceived. And so they lie, they cheat, they steal, you know, they do whatever to obtain their objectives. And their objectives are, well, they want to kill off a bunch of us. There's a bunch of objectives that they have. And once you understand, you know, that's what's happening right now with this coronavirus. Well, I won't say I know you're going to upload this to YouTube. So the what's happening with current events in this and this plandemic, they want to eliminate a bunch of people. they think that they the Georgia Guidestones, if you go to the Georgia Guidestones, they tell you that they want the population of this planet to be 500 million people. And so they want to, there's about 7 billion, so they want to eliminate, you know, 6.5 billion of us. Anyway, so it goes on and on from there.
Yeah, no, I was looking at some documents over the last couple of days because I'm on Telegram and I have a lot of amazing people from the years of being on radio and having a lot of whistleblowers on. I follow a lot of people on Telegram because it's the only, there's the last place they're allowed to actually talk, you know, and tell the truth about the stuff going on. But they uploaded, somebody uploaded the documents coming out of the, you know, Roman Senate. The government looking for a company to service all the dead bodies that are going to be starting to drop like flies in the next year, the ones that people have taken the vaccine. So these, you know, satanic people are already putting out contracts trying to find people to go and start picking up all the dead bodies. And there was like some other documents, like internal documents that came along with it, that talked about that their estimates in the United States will be 60 million people.
Well, there's a website called Deagle.com. Have you heard of that?
No. Tell me, brother.
I haven't actually been on that website. Matter of fact, I can check it while we're here. Last time I tried to go there, it timed out. I couldn't go there. And so, but let's see, I'll do it while we're talking here, because it used to show the population of the United States. It actually was a map, and it showed the population of different countries around the world, but it showed the population of the United States in 2025 being 100 million people. And so, they want to, and this is what Obama was trying to do when he was president. I mean, it was obvious that that's what he's trying to do. See, it timed out. And so they want to start a civil war. They want to kill off a bunch of us. And they were trying to, remember how Obama was saying anybody that's a prepper is a terrorist. Anybody that's, anybody that has food storage is a terrorist. They were just naming all sorts of people as terrorists. And they've been and Biden has started doing the same thing, and that's what they want to do, is start a civil war. They want to start a race war, Cliff High actually is he's I don't know if you know who Cliff High is.
Are you having a thunderstorm?
Yes. Can you hear the thunder?
Can hear it. So cool in the background.
Wow,
it
isn't that interesting?
Awesome. Yeah, I'm like. Right on. I love a good thunderstorm.
Well, you know, Cliff High has these, he's a computer nerd.
And I love Cliff High. Listeners. Yeah. See, he started what? Because you're a computer nerd, or you're like a pit bull, you're like a pit bull with your computer stuff and all the stuff that you found and gleaned. All your years that you've saved on a computer. So you're old school computer guy too.
Well, yes. Yeah, that's true. I'm not as good as Cliff High. That's for sure. He's a coder. So he developed a web bot, but I'm not that good at coding and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, so you should tell our listeners kind of what that means in case some people are listening and they don't know what a bot is and what he's been doing with it. It's a very interesting thing, actually.
He started out, well, you know, I don't know how long he's been, but he's like about 4 years older than me. He started out in the 90s. He was one of the guys that Microsoft would fly all over the world putting out their fires for him. And so he's a coder. He writes the code. He writes the programs. And he discovered that he's actually got some recent videos. I would recommend going to BitChute because he's concerned about the censorship and the everything that goes on mm-hmm. YouTube.
He's calling all of his new videos woo, 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 woo this, woo that, yeah, yeah, Cliff
yeah.
High.
Well, you know why?
We're wooing.
You know why? You know why?
Right, because why? Everybody thinks it's all woo-woo. You know, like, yeah. it's not fact. I mean, but he has bots that he's been running on computer systems, harvesting information and data about what's going on. I mean, he totally knows what's going on. Even the secret side, he knows exactly what's going on.
It's about he calls them the normies. Okay, that's all the people that buy into the party line and that think is everything that Biden won, and that think everything is perfectly fine, and all the rest of it. He calls those the normies, and he says the normies are starting to wake up in droves right now. And he says that the woo woo is the stuff that the normies for years haven't accepted. It's the stuff, the conspiracy theorist stuff and all the rest of that stuff that is actually conspiracy fact. Anyways, so that's why he calls it the woo-woo, because it's the woo-woo is the stuff that the normies haven't been prepared to accept, and now they're being forced to accept as the truth, and they're having trouble dealing with it. So he developed this web bot that would scrape millions of blogs online. He said we're all psychic, but we don't know it, but it comes out in how we use our words. And so he would have these web bots that would scrape blogs and websites and stuff all over the internet, and have this huge mounds of data, and then he'd have to go through and clean it all up. And he made predictions, and he's been predicting this stuff was going on for 20 years. And he's saying that, matter of fact, some of his recent videos, he said that a bunch of his web bots, the temporal markers, that a temporal marker is something that is going to happen time-wise, and that's why it's called temporal. He says the temporal markers are starting to hit in some of his data sets, and he said that his data sets come in groups. And so when one temporal marker hits, then there's good reason to believe that the rest of them in that data set will hit. And he says that this recent drop in the Bitcoin market, he said that 64,000 and it went down to about 30,000. He says that was a temporal marker that he was looking for. And there was some other temporal markers that hit at the same time that are hitting. And in that same data set was the 100,000 Bitcoin. He says by Christmas, he says that he's expecting that Bitcoin will be $100,000. And he's also expecting silver to be $600 by Christmas. And
yeah,
so,
did you hear the news today?
Which one?
Huge crypto news. It's in the Spanish-speaking community right now. It hasn't really made it into the English.
Okay.
But the president of El Salvador, they're not going to have their own currency. He's going to allow cryptocurrencies in his country to take over decentralized cryptocurrencies for his people to get out of any fiat and central banking. And he just announced that today.
Wow, that is huge.
Central banking is done in El Salvador.
Yeah, and that's what Cliff High said. This was back in 2017. He says the banksters, he says they're dead. They just don't know it yet.
And I guess Bitcoin was mentioned in it. I don't speak Spanish. I had to kind of get a friend of mine that speaks Spanish kind of had to glean off the details. But I guess that, you know, primarily Bitcoin is going to be one of the mediums that they're going to want to use. But he said definitely decentral cryptocurrencies across the board. So if his country adopts it, it's going to go like wildfire into a lot of the South American countries. They just have to have courage to be able to do it. And, you know, Venezuela had put out its own cryptocurrency to get around the U.S. and the Federal Reserve and central banking a while ago. But what did they do? They leveled them.
Right.
You know, they totally destroyed them. They were backing it with their petrodollar.
That's what happens, though, is that it starts coming from in the backwaters. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, for example, Cliff I was talking about how the banks in Kenya had told their central bank that we want to have cryptos, and the central bank says no, we're not going to have cryptos, and the banks in Kenya says that's okay, we're going to have it anyway.
And that's what, I mean, that's inevitably what has to happen. So there's been some crazy, I don't know if it's going on all over, but there was, there's been some news that got released this week about the internal memos And it was originally a judge that released the information from some of the EU banks onto the market. But basically, they were saying that they're starting the banking holiday, and they're starting the they're going to go negative interest, so they can start stealing people's money because they're right. broke and they're trying to stay afloat. So what happened was, is I have friends here in Reno that a few of them are awake, but for the most part, most of them are asleep at the wheel.
Normies.
We've been infiltrated by Californians for sure.
Right.
But basically what both, so these are two different, three different people. One of them said that they went to the bank, I think on Tuesday night, because I sent out the video on the banks, you know, and what they're getting ready to do. So he went on Tuesday night and went to the bank, and there was a line, set a line out the bank, around the bank, and to the road, right?
Wow.
And they had, yeah, they had to wait, and they were all getting their cash out of the bank. He said,
wow, really? This was in Reno?
Yeah. So people came with bags and backpacks and all kinds of stuff. So another person I talked to said, I think like on Thursday, he went to the bank to get his money out because he only had like about 50 grand in there. But it took till like after I sent him the video on what's going on with the banks, it took him a few days to be able to get down there, you know, during the period that they're open. He said the same thing. He said there were probably like 15 people in line waiting. And, you know, the bank wanted to close at a certain time, but everybody said, nope, you know, we've been standing here and you're going to give us our cash, you know, before we leave. We're not coming back. And he said that particular guy said that two people up from him, he had a huge backpack. And he said he watched them put the equivalency of $200,000 in U.S. dollar into his backpack, and he walked out the bank.
Wow.
So people are actually taking all of their stuff out of the bank because they're done. You know, if this is what the bank's going to do, it's going to banking is coming out and saying, you know, hey, we're going to have a banking holiday. We're going to go to negative interest rates. There could be a point that the banks close and nobody gets their money out of them.
Yeah, it'll be another.
Which has happened. This is the thing is, like, people want to argue with me about this all the time. And I was young during the SNL loan. Remember those banks? And everything that was involved with those, the saving and loan banks? And all the people. All the people, there were like, what, 500 saving and loan banks?
There was people I knew that took them years to get their money, and it was insured and everything, and it still took them years to get their money. I don't know if they ever did.
Yeah, but some people, I don't think they did. I don't think anyone ever got their money out of it. But I'm just saying, like, if people want proof, this happens all the time. You know, this is how they glean off your wealth so that right. they stay in power, and you suck doorknobs.
They'll do another Cyprus thing.
Right. So then the other thing, another friend of mine, he said he went down to get some silver. We have a really good place here in Reno that I just love. The people, they're amazing, super right. intelligent.
And he said lineups.
So he's waiting and the guy's helping him. And he's like, you know, overwhelmed because he's never really bought any gold or silver. And so they're trying to tell him what the best deals are right now. That's the cool thing about this particular place. They'll tell you, okay, like the Maple Leaf right now, if you buy over a certain amount, we can give you a big discount on that. So, you know, they tell you what the specials and stuff like that are. So he's trying to figure all this out. It's overwhelming. Meanwhile, he said this guy who looks like he's homeless, like a beard, kind of dirty or whatever, comes rolling in, and he's standing behind him. And the guy says, hey, can I help you? And the guy said, yeah, I need to buy $60,000. And the guy goes, well, in what? He goes, in silver. So they call somebody out of the back. The guy whips out $60,000 in cash. And this big box of silver goes walking out the door. And he said also while he was in there was another guy that came in with $100,000 cash in a briefcase. He said he didn't really get to see what that guy bought, but he said they were coming in. And I said, well, it's probably because they're taking all their money out of the bank. And they don't want to put it in somewhere else that could be lost because this is all the money they have. So what's your thoughts? I mean, what's your thoughts on the banks legally?
Well, I agree completely. I don't keep any more money in there than I need to conduct business. I mean, I might have like a couple hundred bucks in there and that's it. And I would be buying silver. I'm buying silver as much as I can get. One thing to keep in mind when you're buying silver is that if you buy bullion that, and it turns out to be counterfeit, and there is counterfeit silver out there, then if you buy bullion, your only remedy is to sue them for the damages. In other words, if it's a $20 coin and you bought some pot metal, it's supposed to be silver, then you sue them for 20 bucks. But if you buy silver eagles or pre-1964 quarters or dimes, that's called junk silver, and it turns out to be counterfeit, then you call up the Secret Service and they'll hunt them down and put them in jail for 30 years. And so it's, and also on top of that, when you buy bullion and you take it down, say this $600 silver that's in Cliff's data sets shows up, and you take like a roll of silver eagles that you can buy right now for about 700 bucks, and you take it down and you sell it for, what is it, at $600, it'd be $12,000. Then if you sell a roll of silver eagles, there's no reporting requirement because technically that's money. And but if it was a roll of 1 ounce bullion coins, they would have to report it to the IRS. And so something to keep in mind.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's the thing is like, everybody's like moving, you know, it makes you wonder like how long the banks are going to be able to keep their doors open. I mean, if this is just what's happening in Reno, I mean, that enough people are woke that they're going in and getting whatever they've gotten there, you know, out. And thank God they are, because things could be a lot worse here in the near future, you know?
Well, and they need to be buying gold and silver and cryptos. I mean, cryptos, they can't steal your cryptos as long as you don't lose your private key. I mean, it's going to be pretty safe.
Yeah. What's your favorite cryptos?
I like Digibyte. I like Litecoin. I got Veritasium. You know what Veritasium is?
You know, no, but I've heard a lot, I think, about Veritasium.
Veritasium, Cliff High said in his data sets he saw Veritasium going beyond the price of Bitcoin.
Oh.
And right now it's $22.
Wow. So I don't know if I look it up. I don't know. What's its code?
V-E-R-I. V-E-R-I.
V-E-R-I. Yeah. All right. I'll have to look at it. Yeah. I mean, I buy a little bit of cryptos here and a little crypto there. And I had some rough times at the beginning of the year. So I had to, you know, sell a little bit. But at least it was there to sell, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
At least I've had done it.
I've done the same thing.
So what kind of banking system do you think we're going to need? I mean, so talk to us, because you have a lot of you have like killer old legal dictionaries. You've pored over them. And I highly recommend people go to Sovereign Living YouTube channel, because you have some amazing presentations, and you give all this stuff away for free. I mean, it's probably some of the best legal information, because you're like me. I'm not an advocate of completely going sovereign. Like, I think you can get into more trouble that way. And that there, like you said, there's actually laws that if you're smart enough to figure out what they are, you can settle and solve just about anything that you've got going on.
Yeah, you can, you have to understand, first of all, that negotiable instrument law, you know, I've got a set of books called Roman Law in America. And you know what those books talk about? It's a set of three-volume books. It's a three-volume set. And it's written by this, I don't know who it is, some guy, some law professor or something. Anyways, you know what they talk about? They talk about mortgages.
Money.
They talk about negotiable instruments. They talk about stocks and bonds. All of that is Roman law.
Right.
And that's all really, it falls under the Roman cult, right? Because that is Roman law.
So what's your opinion? Just let me ask you a question. Because this is where I go. If it all comes down and we go back to some form of the Republic or whatever, that means everything under USD goes away, including your 401k and all this other stuff. And I have all these people who argue with me that, oh no, like a 401k will stay. Okay, well, how does that work? You take a worthless instrument, right? And what? Sell it to cryptocurrencies and do what with it? Like now, if you took your 401k apart and you bought cryptocurrencies, you'd have the cryptocurrencies. But I don't see like you being able, after the fact of the USD taking a giant, you know, poop stain, that you're going to have anything, because it doesn't make any sense.
I think that what will happen is the dollar will have to be backed by gold. And right now, there's a whole bunch of them that are circulating around the world that are not, like, there's trillions of them that are circulating around the world. Probably, you know, I don't know how the scenario is going to work out. You know, Jim Willie talks about this, and he says that, you know, if we go and start backing our dollar by gold, and we see, you got to have, in other words, we'd have to have a bunch of gold. And if we're going to, right now we have a trade deficit. And so if every time we, every year, every 3 months, anytime they settle a trade, the balance of trade, then that'd be like shipping our gold overseas. And so we wouldn't have our gold for long. And so what they'll have to do, quite frankly, is they'll have to have a reset of some sort and revalue the dollar somehow.
Right, but I mean, that doesn't include taking all of this worthless stuff. Because, well, okay, so this is the way that it has been explained to me. Just your thoughts, okay? Because I have a hard time being able to talk about this subject with people. So you're cool and you're open. So I love it. All right, so a lot of the gold that is existence, especially like US, UK, and some other countries, they kept using their gold over and over and over again, right? And it got to a point where they wouldn't let them run instruments on it anymore. So what they had to do is they had to start melting it and refining it into new bars to make instruments off of, right? So that's one problem, that we may have a lot of stuff out there that is not going to be usable, you know, because so much stuff has been written on it. Now, the other thing too is, like, if you have like a backed currency, say with gold, you're not going to have credit anymore because you can't inflate it. And you only have so many dollars that can be written off of it, period, end of story. So how do you take all this fake money and all the fake money in the system called people's retirement, hedge funds, mutual funds, credit, loans? How do you take that and be able for it to have any value under a gold-backed currency?
The way they would do it is they would, first of all, they've been rigging the price of gold and silver for decades and keeping the price down so that they could add validity to the dollar. And first of all, they had to stop. Matter of fact, they've even said that there's, you listen to, what's his name? Mindset, Jim Sinclair. And Jim Sinclair is a pretty smart guy. He, back in the 70s and 80s, when price of gold went up to $500 an ounce, I think it was, he actually predicted that. He wrote it all the way up, and then when it got to the top, he says, okay, well, it's time to get rid of it now. And so he made out pretty good. Anyways, he says that what they do is they will look at how much the deficit is and look at how much gold you got and revalue the price of gold. They'll let it float. And they, there's, matter of fact, there's Jim Willie talks about, he has a source in the European banking community that that says that that what the Europeans think the equilibrium price of silver is about $500 an ounce, and that's where it should be, and it's being rigged and kept down. And that's
this is something I talk about a lot. Is, you know, I watched 2 years ago the guy who runs the two big Swiss vaults for the elite actually did an interview. And he has like all of these like PhDs and stuff like that. And he said, like, if you do the numbers based on everything, then you're looking at a $600 silver. And, right. And that's when I learned that silver, something I talk about a lot, is the value of labor.
Yeah. So silver is,
they
is
keep
the
labor.
Of-
They keep the labor way down and people get paid nothing. So they can't really right. afford to buy a house right now. They can't right. afford to buy a car outright because they're not getting the value. So think about this. Think you're getting like an ounce of silver, right? So people were actually getting paid more, 50 years ago when they were getting paid silver than we get paid now.
So yeah,
if you got a value of, you know, 1 ounce of silver for your labor today, that's $600 a day. And that is probably at about the point where you need it in order to be able to afford to buy a house. I mean, there's no way you'll ever buy a house at $8 an hour with fake money.
Average wage way back when was $1 a day or $2 a day. And that was silver. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, a $1... you know, one ounce of silver, if it went up to like where it should be, that tells you where the labor should be.
Right.
That's $600 a day.
Yep.
I mean, how terrible is that? I mean, like, you know, like once I started kind of thinking about that, I was like, oh my God, this is why they're repressing the silver, because the silver is the labor, right? Because it came out of agriculture, remember? So they had like one coin, one silver piece, or a sheep, and everybody had agriculture. So you had your sheep in the field, or you took them in and you got your 10 coins for your 10 sheep so that you could go buy 10 more sheep, right? So that you can continue to do business without inflation. So silver is always the labor. It's also the food, right? It also is tied to the food and the quality of food.
Cliff High says that the price of silver is going to go beyond the price of gold. He says that when it goes to $600 an ounce, it's going to keep going up. He says that when gold is at $4,000 an ounce, he says silver will be $1,000 an ounce. And silver will eventually go beyond the price of gold, because silver is actually used in industrially all over the place.
In everything. Yeah. And it's not mined that much anymore.
No.
Because it's so undervalued, they can't get any money out of it if they do mine it. It costs way too much more than what its value is to mine it, so they don't mine it.
There's only about 2 silver mines on the planet that are operating. And the rest of the silver that's produced is a gold mine or a copper mine that there's silver in it, and they're processing the ore anyway, so they get the silver. But but other than that, there's only 2, and they're extremely rich deposits. Now, and it takes years to get a mine up and operating, and so it'll take a long time. You know, once silver pops, you know, then all of a sudden there'll be people that'll be wanting to open these mines up, but it'll take years to get them up and operating.
Yeah.
And so Cliff High says that the price of silver is actually going to go beyond the price of gold, and it'll be used in, he says there's silver has certain electrical characteristics that are not in anything else. That's unique to silver. And we'll need it for certain high-tech devices that are coming out.
And, well, in medicine, one of the best natural antibiotics there is colloidal silver.
Well, yes, that's true. But Cliff High says we're going into the age of the Jetsons, where we're going to have anti-gravity, we'll have food replicators, we'll have all sorts of stuff like that.
And, I don't want to eat from a food replicator. I want to eat from soil. I want old school, because microbes, this is the problem, is that you have to have those microbes from the dirt to build your microbiome in your body. That's why all these people are sterile. and people have all these crazy health problems is because they're not composting themselves, right? So your body is a composter, but you have to have the microbes, the mass inside your body in order for your body to compost itself and keep it clean. And, you know, if you have proper microbes, it'll eat radiation, eat heavy metals and all this other stuff, but nobody actually eats from the soil and everybody eats food that's cooked. And one tablespoon of milk in studies they've showed that's homogenized or pasteurized can kill almost all the microbiome in your gut.
Well, they say that the biggest problem is that they put all these additives in the food. And you're right. It would be nice to have, but even the soil's full of all sorts of garbage that's been there for centuries. And so you have a guy that's got an organic farm. And he might have an organic farm, but the soil has residue in it.
No, this is that thing, not in biodynamics. So Rudolf Steiner created biodynamic agriculture over 100 years ago. The cabal killed him.
Yeah, no doubt.
And all of his preparations, because he saw what was coming in the future. So he gave us these preparations on how to make homeopathic remedies and how to make strong microbial mass through composting skills and using homeopathic blends to regenerate your soil. So in biodynamic farming, we don't have any problems with heavy metals, chemicals, no radiation. Right now, Russia is using biodynamic burial prep, and they're getting rid of all of the Chernobyl radiation in all of those villages, and it's all testing clean. Even the plants are testing clean, the animals that are eating this great stuff and these microbial-rich stuff. So it's, you know, he said, you know, Rudolf Steiner talked about how it was the only way we were going to be able to fix the planet and we were actually going to be able to grow food. Because if we didn't eat proper food, we're not going to make it. And we're not going to have offspring that's going to be able to make it because we're going to be too far into technology and that is going to make us not human. And we're going to have to backtrack because it's the wrong direction. He said it's going to take us hundreds of years to straighten out this technology crap and it's going to be super detrimental. But this is the age that we have to work it out. He said from 1410 to 3572 is the fifth post-Atlantean epoch. And this is the period where the human develops its intellect, individual intellect, and its ability to use its brain to think. And so through that, that's how, you know, we'll individualize our freedom. He didn't really say that we would come together as communities. And what he saw in this part of the future is that it would highly bottleneck. And he also not only talked about how detrimental the technology that we were coming into, but he called all the technology Luciferian. He called it the reign of Lucifer, the period of Lucifer. And he also talks about the vaccines and how the vaccines in the near future, you would become soulless. So he was talking about what's going on now.
Yeah, well, I would say that that sounds pretty accurate. I know that Cliff High said in his data sets that there's around now, there's going to be 1 billion people that are going to disappear off the planet. And he says also that anybody that takes the jab is going to be sterile and won't be able to have kids.
And, well, did you hear about all the children right now? Like, they have toddlers that are bleeding out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, just, like, the stuff that's going on is, like, so unbelievably we have to be a really, really dumb species. I mean, in order for, you know, it just shocks me and it upsets me a lot. Like I know that I have to pay attention to what's going on, but it just really hurts me. It really hurts that, you know, if you want to be an adult and whatever choices that you want to make, but don't do it to your children. Like,
I don't get me going. The way I look at it, quite frankly, is that, you know, some people, maybe they're not meant to be in the gene pool. Maybe they're meant to not, their destiny lies somewhere else. You know, and so all I can do is do my best to educate them. But when you see someone driving by themselves in their car with a mask on, you know, you just got to think that their destiny is not in this world, you know.
That's all I can say. Yeah, no, I was listening to And We Know Today, and he always puts out a really good, like, little news media thingy, and he had a guy on there, I forget what his name was, but the guy said, I am absolutely positively not taking the vaccine, he said, because I'm going to survive this, and he said, so many people are going to die, and he said, hopefully it will be just all the stupid people.
Well, even the elite are saying that the world is going to be a lot better. All those brain dead idiots will be gone, and the people that are left will be the ones that are fairly intelligent.
Yeah, so they can like retrain us, right, into sleep systems.
Well, you know, let's face it. I think that it's gonna break it up. It's gonna get broke off in their backside is what's gonna happen.
Well, that's what's happening because people are done messing around. If people are taking their money out of the banks, it's done.
Right. Right,
I mean, because only a small percentage of people need to do that to take all the cash out. And then what? What do they tell people? Oh, I can't give you $100 today because we don't have any cash. No, the bank has cash.
Yeah. Well, and that's a surefire way to get a run on the bank.
Yeah, and the Mint came out, I think, this last week, too, and said they're not going to be printing any more silver coins.
Well, they have a statutory requirement too, but they might have run out until they get some more silver and some more. Because what they do is they buy these the ingots, rounds.
Yeah.
They buy the rounds and they stamp them. That's all they do. Yeah. And but still, they have a statutory requirement to produce them. And so, but at any rate,
What would you like to see for banking? Do you think cryptos would be something really good? I mean, what do you think? I mean, I know that Ripple a month ago got their crypto bank approved in Wyoming. So it looks like Wyoming is working with Ripple and probably Wyoming will have some kind of cryptocurrency utilized, you know, through Ripple's bank. They're actually putting in a physical bank in Wyoming, which
I think
is pretty cool.
I think it's not that I want to see this, quite frankly, but I think this is what's going to happen. I think that the cryptos were orchestrated by the New World Order crowd, but it's getting out of their control, and they're quite upset about it. At least that's what I'm hearing from Penny Kelly and from Cliff High and those kinds of people. And I think that's probably correct, that they're losing control. But I think that they're absolutely, utterly ruthless. And they'll turn off the power if they have to. And so that's why I'm buying silver. And especially when silver is going to go beyond the price of gold. So right now I have cryptos. There's no doubt about it. And I plan on keeping cryptos because I do think that cryptos are the wave of the future, but I think there's going to be a period of time when you'll have to have some sort of ID or something like that to even get online. And so you won't be able to, or it'll be very difficult to even use your cryptos without having some sort of, you know, like the mark or something like that. And so they're going to, you know, the brain dead idiots out there are just going to roll right along, go along with it. And so the few of us that don't, it's going to be very difficult. If you have gold or silver, then you got something that's real. And so at some point, I think that they'll completely lose control. That's when the elite they'll be getting hunted down on the streets. They won't be safe for them to be on the streets. Cliff High even said that he talked about in Argentina how they went to the news media. The people went to the news media's buildings and they went and destroyed them. They went in there and they just destroyed everything in there. And they spent 2 or 3 days till it was just a pile of rubble. The people were going through the rubble, making sure everything was destroyed. And he says that could happen here. And he says that the news media, these anchors, you know, what's his name? On CNN, these guys, he said they're going to have to hire bodyguards. It's not going to be safe for them to walk down the street. They're going to have to hire bodyguards and because they're going to be unsafe. And I think that's what you're going to see. I think that's a very logical a progression of what's going to happen. I can tell you that when silver pops, I'm planning on getting myself a Class A motorhome. I have some land that's out in the country, and I'm going to be building. I'll be out there building my land, building my house, my little hideaway. And and to get away, because I've got land.
That's what I'm going to be doing too. Like, I'm going to be building a full-scale biodynamic farm. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life.
Good. Yeah, excellent. Right on. Well, maybe I'll have to network with you. And
but I love networking.
Yeah, it's a networking thing, right? And so that's exactly what I want to do. Is I want to have a nice big garden, and I want to have it big enough that there's going to be people that are going to be leaving, getting away from the cities, because I think the cities are going to turn into demilitarized zones, and so the safety will be out in the country. And
well, if you know, the elite right now are putting out contracts trying to find somebody that's willing to take on the dead body pickups from all the people dying of the vaccine in the next year. Right. And their estimates right now are 60 million people. I don't know how cities couldn't be militarized zones just because of all the dead bodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the condition of that, you know, in the public, and that spreading, you know, because you can't have that many dead bodies. I mean, dead bodies produce a lot of really nasty, highly contagious diseases like cholera and all kinds of waterborne diseases, you know? Right. So you would have to, like, if you started having a bunch of people dying in one area, you literally would have to send in the military, and you would have to shut down. And then did you see the thing on, I might have sent it to you in the email, but the CDC has two web pages for zombie apocalypse emergency preparedness list. And I was like, that. Well, they're telling you right there that, you know, it's going to be a zombie apocalypse. So what are they going to do? They're also going to have to use the military to shoot these people when they can't. I mean, that's what they were doing kind of over in Asia in 2019, the videos that I saw coming out of there when they were all supposedly dying of COVID. You know, they're dropping dead in the streets, and they had vans where they had people in hazmat suits that were picking them up off the street and throwing them to the van. And then the ones that weren't dead, the guys with guns would shoot them as they pulled up, because they'd be like quivering there or whatever. And then they'd pick them up and throw them in the van. I mean, and you know, this sounds like so far out there that I don't think people could really like wrap their head around this. That number one, there wasn't really a COVID, but you know, those people in China who were dying were all fully vaccinated in November with the stuff they're vaccinating us now with. And they were all dying in the streets.
Yep, you got that right. Yep. If you listen to Cliff High, and he's actually suggesting that the pandemic was just a hoax to get people to take the vaccination.
Exactly.
Because the spike protein, it was the real objective. We're at war with China. You got to understand that. And he says that China is going to invade too. And but he says that we're a bunch of gnarly bastards, and we don't particularly like our government. And he says we're all armed. You know, and so they're not going to do too
well.
This
would be I watched that Cliff High video, and Cliff goes, this will be the first time in history that a country invaded a country that was highly armed.
Yeah.
It's not going to work out so well.
It's not going to work out so well. I was listening recently. There was something that I was listening to that said that there's more arms in the hands of the American people than there is in every other army on the planet combined.
Oh, and some people have had, well, you know, think about it. So we're going to go to break here in about 2 minutes, and I haven't let Kelsey in. So hopefully the second hour, we'll let her get a word in edgewise. Maybe she'll have some great questions for you. And I'll even ask a couple questions for her that maybe you can, you know, think about. You know, back in the day, you know, there's still a ton of gold and silver that's still underground, because there were people like Billy the Kid, they were running that, what are they called, the Golden Circle. And back then they were stealing from the rich people and they were burying all the silver and gold, and the, most of it's never been found. And it's all kind of under maps. And only people from these families know when the time is to start bringing this money out to actually help the fight. So those people have been arming themselves since, you know, the 1800s, you know. Those people have, you know, vast amounts of arms, you know, like people have been preparing for, you know, this coming up. And then it makes you wonder, like, you know, we had time travelers at certain points that said, hey, this is going to happen in a couple hundred years, and you need to prepare for it now. And, you know, just tell your kin or whatever, because some of these places where some of this money is still hid with these secret codes and these maps and stuff are still protected by family members. People will talk about getting, you know, shot at in these certain areas. So still being protected. But it's interesting, you know, like all of this is kind of meeting, you know, kind of culminating on this point in time that we're calling now.
Yep. Yep. Well, actually, if you listen to Bix Weir and Cliff High, there's actually a lot of gold. There's actually a lot more gold than there is silver. And there's, like, for example, that Lake Orville, and that's not too far from you. Mm-mm. That Orville, at Orville Dam, Cliff High said that his data set showed that was built over top of the where they had the California Gold Rush. And he says mm-hmm. that dam is going to break. Right now, that dam is extremely low, and they're having to move all these houseboats up onto the parking lot. But he says that he's in his data sets, he sees that thing, that dam breaking. It's mm-hmm. going to take out downtown Sacramento when it does. Mm-hmm. And he says that they're going to find gold all over the place. And there'll mm-hmm. be people over there looking, getting the gold, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We're going to break. We're going to be back. So just mute out. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm listening for the music. The promos should be happening any second. Any second now. All right, so our guest today is Glenn, and you can find him at Sovereign Living YouTube. You should get over there, take a look at it, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
All right.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Second hour, carrying stones and digging holes to cultivate consciousness. Kelsey Sweet, Bridget Lynn Dolgoff, and you can go to Bridget's website and look at the webpage for our show, carrying stones and digging holes to cultivate consciousness. Has a lot of information there. Check out, I'm always putting all kinds of different stuff up on my blog, lots of stuff on vaccines, all kinds of information. And also you can go to Kelsey Sweet's website and check out what she's doing. And let's see, also do the donate. So go and check out Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, and do the donate button and take a look. It's a flop down menu and it's got all kinds of ways that you can help support us through this period in time. Yep. And also we all work, we all volunteer our time. And so we just ask that you help us keep the lights on, keep things going. Because, you know, we've got 90 hosts and we've got a bunch of management and we have a lot of people who are working to bring you shows. And, you know, I just want to explain out there that sometimes some of us don't really host fight like cats and dogs because everybody has their opinion. And, but the one thing that we all stand by is that we're basically First Amendment radio, we're non-corporatized radio, and that everybody deserves to have a voice. And listeners, who that's your opinion, you deserve to have a host that can help convey that information to you. So that's, even though we have a broad scale of all kinds of different people that provide all kinds of different information here at Revolution Radio, we all can agree to disagree, but the number one thing that we agree on is that the freedom of speech is most important. Okay, so Glenn and his YouTube channel is Sovereign Living, and then he'll tell us what his website is again. Mr. Glenn, what's your website again?
SovereignTyInternational.fyi. That's SovereignTyInternational, all one word, .fyi. Everything's an illusion, right? So when you go to my website, you'll be given a chance to either enter the website or exit. You get the red pill or the blue pill. You have to.
That's pretty funny. Hey, so, okay, so let's talk about, like, the difference, maybe. Stuff that people always ask me about that I don't know anything about, really, because it's not a part of law that I've actually studied. I mean, I'm more, like, kind of a need-to-know person because of my private practice and, you know, being an osteopath and just really staying out of the system because, you know, the system has tried to eat me alive. So, what's the difference between a republic, right, an original United States versus the corporate United States when it comes to kids? Is there anything that stands out in particular?
Well, you have to understand that if you look in those old censuses back, you know, in the 1800s and stuff, the guy would say, it would list all his property. And his property would be his wife and his children. That's his property. At common law, the wife and minor children are the property of the husband. Now, that's a two-edged sword, I guess. It depends on the husband, whether he's going to, what's the scriptures tell us? A husband shouldn't love his wife like the Savior loves the church, right? What's happened now is that all of that, there's a thing called Uniform Commercial Code. Have you ever heard of the Uniform Commercial Code?
I have.
Okay. Well, the Uniform Commercial Code is governed and controlled by a organization called UNIDROIT. And UNIDROIT is located about 100 yards from the Holy See in Rome. And it's international law. 63 countries, at least, last time I checked, there's 63 countries had signed on to the UNIDROIT statute under the United Nations. And so when UNIDROIT makes a change to the Uniform Commercial Code, then they make the change in Rome, and it flows down to all 63 countries at the same time. And so I guess what I'm saying is if you look on UNIDROIT's website, it says that they have control over civil procedure. They have control over transportation. They have control over children, child support, maintenance enforcement. They have control over all sorts of stuff. All of that, your children, if you use the word, it's all about words. So you have to get away from using those words. Number one is you have to quit using the word children or child, okay? This is my property. This is my son or my daughter, okay? This is my property, okay? That's really what it comes down to. And so most people have no idea what's going on. It also has to do with citizenship. If you're a U.S. citizen, then you're considered Article 4, Section 2, other property of the United States. If you're a U.S. citizen, you're a slave. You're property. And think of it this way. You know, when the Constitution was written, the we the people that's talked about in the preamble was not U.S. citizens, okay? U.S. citizens did not exist at the time the Constitution was written, or the Articles of Confederation. It was all state citizens, okay? And that was people of the Virginia, the people of New York, the people of the states were who we the people are. But if you say I'm a U.S. citizen, then you're saying that I'm one of the slaves. And you don't have any rights. The courts have even ruled the only absolute right of a U.S. citizen is to live within the territorial boundaries of the United States. Everything else is up for grabs. And that's why they treat you like you're a piece of property, why you're a slave. And that's why it's U.S. citizens that pay the taxes. This is what gets me, is these people that say, I'm a taxpayer, and they're using my taxpayer dollars for all of this. Well, if you're a taxpayer, then you're a slave. You're forcing you to work for the government for nothing. That's called slavery, in case you didn't notice.
Anyways. Yeah, no, I have this funny story. So I have a friend of mine who's been one of my clients off and on forever, since like mid-90s probably. And she's like mid-60s now, and she got hit by a car and had a major, she has a traumatic brain injury. And so she kind of moved back to the area so that I could work on her, right, to start kind of getting her being able to walk and out of wheelchair. And it's going really well. I can do miracles. I can bring people back to life, basically. But she's like in a divorce with her husband for, they've been, I think it's like 42 years or something. And so, you know, periodically when I'm over at her house working on her, she tells me like what the next best thing's going on, from her attorney and his attorney and this judge, this woman judge is like, I mean, super nightmare. She's like so awful, but they can't. She thinks that she's there because she's going to be able to get some money from him. You know, she wants some alimony. And then what happened was at this last hearing, the judge said, you have to get on disability insurance, and you have to file for disability compensation. And she was like, well, but that's only $1,280 a month, and I can't really survive on that. She has this Electrolux, you know, vacuum store. And the judge says, no, you have to sell that store. And so my friend didn't even realize, like, what was going on. And I said, no, they're trying to pull your assets all together in a nice package because they're going to give him money. They're looking at trying to figure out how to give him money. And she just couldn't believe it. And then as the hearings have gone on, she's realized, like, that's exactly what's going on.
See, and that's the thing, is that she should transfer the store into a trust. And then she can say, well, I don't own anything. There's a lot of ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how, you know, and maybe it's because it goes back to that, right? I don't know, but it's interesting what happens.
All these judges are United Nations judges. Matter of fact, they wear that black uniform. I call that a bail priest uniform. That's a uniform. That's a military uniform they're wearing. And
it's the same. It's similar to what priests wear, too. You know, they all got to have a coat. They've all got to have a robe. Doctors, too. They're all in the same oath. You know, they're all in the same group. And anybody that, you know, wears an outfit, you shouldn't trust.
Well, they again,
have to pretend.
What it comes down to is it's all coming from the United Nations is where it's coming from. Yeah. It's all satanic. And all statutes are actually international law. Uniform Commercial Code is international law. And all statutes are international law. At common law, you can do anything you want as long as you don't damage someone's person or their property. That's called the unwritten law. And there's court cases to talk about it. And so you don't need their statutes. But what happens is the government goes bankrupt. They went and orchestrated bankruptcy, because remember I said that Congress went bankrupt in 1933, and it was seized by its creditors. And it's now owned and operated by the Roman cult, and they're Satanists. And they deliberately make these codes deceptive. They pass millions, literally millions of codes, rules, and regulations. And if you don't know some obscure code or rule or how it works, they'll sell you into slavery. How do you think they're populating the prisons?
I know.
What they do.
Well, and this is the thing that is most shocking to me. Like, you know, I have friends that live all over the world, so I'm always talking to people. And they just are shocked to see how bad things really are in the United States, but how everyone in the United States thinks they're free. And we're like one of the worst enslaved countries. Because other countries will just refuse to work, or they'll just riot, or they'll just starve to death. They don't really care. They're like, fine, we'll just sit here and starve to death, and then you won't have anything. You have nothing viable, and you'll have no one to grow your food. So you know what? We're not even going to play. So when they were trying to vaccinate in Africa, I was watching these videos of like these three-story buildings of kids, you know, in them, the schools. And as soon as like one of them would see the UN vans coming with all of the vaccinations to vaccinate them, they were jumping out of the third story windows and running, like ran away so that nobody could get caught or vaccinated. And that tells you like that these people know more than we know, or like we understand, where here people just drive up voluntarily. They wait in line all day long, stick their arm out a window, and they don't even know exactly which vaccine they're getting.
I know, I couldn't believe it. I was here in Fort Worth before I went to New Jersey. There was a lineup of cars, and the lineup was like about 10 blocks long, and they were waiting to get vaccinated. And I was thinking, hello, the lights are on, but nobody's home. But
it went on here for 4 months. It was packed. And there was this big tent from the hospital that people were driving through, and it was packed, thousands and thousands of people every day, 7 days a week, from light until dark.
Well, so they want to get taken out of the gene pool, I guess.
Well, yeah, exactly. They have been. I mean, now it's passed because there's not going to be. I mean, I was listening to something today about that. There are some doctors like Tenpenny and stuff like that that said that there are some people trying to work on some stuff that maybe could reverse the problem. And it's like, are you kidding me? You don't even know. How do you reverse engineer something that you don't even know what it is?
There was a UK thing that I saw recently. It's from the United Kingdom, the government of the United Kingdom, and it said that they expected that the third wave of the COVID is going to, that 70% of the people that have taken the jab are either going to be in the hospital or sick at home. And they're going to be sick. And they expected 70% of them to get sick. Or they were going to be dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, people are going to be, you know, if they are still alive, they're going to be like, you know, seriously kind of maimed. Hold on a second. Let me see if my co-host, I know that she has acts tonight and they might be really busy, but we'll see if my co-host wants to come on. If she has any questions, she can pop on. If not, we'll just let her. Oh, here she comes.
Well, no, I'm here and I'm listening and taking a bunch of stuff in. And I've been trying to do my best to keep up with the websites and then post it to our Facebook stuff, so anybody listening along can kind of keep track of where we're going. And I'm trying to think of some questions too. And I'm not as like well educated in this stuff as either of you. And I'm trying to formulate some sort of question as far as like for people like me or for people who want to know more, like where, like in regards to learning about law and how it applies to your own life, like where is a good place to start? Because I feel like so much of the information is overwhelming, or like I can get it from a big picture, but to apply it to my own life and where to find those resources, like how do I know what information I'm finding is the right information?
Well, I would suggest you go to my website because there's one page that's right on the front page, a link to my It's a page that is links to my YouTube videos based on topics.
Yeah, I've got your website and the YouTube site open now. I've been kind of like skimming through, and I checked out your Patreon as well. I mean, you just have such a great reference as far as how all this information is organized. So, I think that's a great place to start because I think you've just kind of umbrellaed everything.
Well, on YouTube, you know, some of my videos, you're watching one video, you'll have some other ones that'll come up in the recommended videos, but you'll never know all of them. And if you go to my website, it's basically got just about all of them on there, and there's links to them based on the different kinds of topics. And And so you can kind of study by different areas of law. And you know, the law affects you, everything you do. And what happens is most people have no idea who they are, that we're really supposed to be a nation of kings and queens. And the reason that you basically have a bunch of pirates that have taken over the government, and we the people are starting to figure that out right now, and we got to take it back is what we essentially have to do, and you know, they're not just going to roll over, so you have to understand the law and how the law works, make sure that that we take it back. And they don't just, you know, a lot of times, you know, this is not the first time this kind of thing has happened. And so, you know, they might just play the game for a while. And because we're going through the same kind of things that went through at the War of Independence, too. It's all the same stuff that happened back then. And the only advantage we have right now is the internet, and things are much more freely available. But, you know, when the Crown in the War of Independence, they were going to an armory to seize all the guns, and the colonist says, "No, you're not," and that's what started the War of Independence.
That makes sense. Well, so for like, for younger generations like myself, I'm a millennial, and for like Gen Z and the generations that come after me, what's your advice for the younger generations as far as what we can do in terms of like how to take it back?
Well, you got to understand, first of all, that you're products of the government's educational system, and the government has taught you what you need to know to operate in their system, but they haven't taught you everything. And, for example, there's two classes of citizens, and if you're a U.S. citizen, then a U.S. citizen's a slave. That's exactly what a U.S. citizen is. A U.S. citizen is property, and a slave is property. And so... if you want to be fulfill your destiny, then you got to educate about what's going on and how it's happening so that you can protect yourself from predators, and you have to understand the law and how it works. And there's also issues of like Bridget was talking about a minute ago about this friend that had a store, a vacuum cleaner store. And, you know, you got to, again, protect yourself and your property. And so there's asset protection. That's a whole nother part of the law that you need to educate yourself about, how that you can protect yourself, your property, so that you know, people can sue you all day long and it doesn't do them any good. You got nothing to take. And land and absolute title in land. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of issues that if you want to really own your land, if you're paying an annual rent in the form of property taxes, then you really don't own that land. If that rent, that annual rent that you're paying is the property taxes, you know, if you don't pay that, what do? They do a unlawful detainer action, and an unlawful detainer action is what they do for renters to kick them out. And so you don't own it. And how do you own it? You want to really own it? Then you have to understand the law and how it works. And
And sometimes the other thing too is like, I just want to throw this out. There's when I started doing legal remedies back in 2009, I was scared because I thought, you know, like, nobody would accept some of these remedies, right? And I would get targeted. And what I started to find out that banks took them, everybody was like more than happy to help me. They're like, oh yeah, okay, well, great. Well, that's great. Okay, well, let's do this, let's do that. And recently when I had to have, because I had contacted Glenn, I've been following him for like, I don't know, 5 years. And so I contacted him about what to do because I bought this older van and was fixing it up. And I wanted to try to find another way around registration. But the problem is I couldn't change the title back to automobile. That wasn't working out. So then I tried to use a silver bill, you know, that I paid silver. That didn't work. And so in the end, they made me mad. So she didn't even notice, but I wrote, instead of signed it at the end, I wrote without prejudice. And she didn't even look at it. You know, and she took it and then stamped it and then gave me my stuff.
Well, but, and when you sign, that's another thing. That's under the Uniform Commercial Code. When you sign something without prejudice, there's no signature on there.
Yeah.
And most people use that in ways that they shouldn't be using it. They'll file a document into a court and put without prejudice on there. Well, that just nullified the signature on it. If you're filing a document, you want that signature to be valid. It's when they're forcing you to sign something that you want it to be non-existent. And so you have to be careful about that kind of thing, and so that you know when to use it and when not to use it.
Yeah, when I figured it was a perfect opportunity, because I tried to give them every possible remedy, do you know what I mean, to accept things on my terms, and they weren't going to accept them on my terms. So I just, you know, put it on there. So it'd be kind of funny, because if something happened, you know, with my registration, or something happened with the car, or say, for example, it gets illegally towed or anything, then I could file something in the court, and then I could say, I'm sorry, but you should really go check out the signature at the DMV, because you have no right to have removed it.
Well, you can use Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. And what that says is that the District of Columbia is a maximum of 10 miles square. And what they're doing is they're all District of Columbia territorial judges. And when you bring that issue up in a way that you can prove, in other words, you file it into the case under penalty of perjury and you get their court stamp on it, that puts them in a very difficult position. And they'll, 9 times out of 10, they make the case disappear. And so Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 is, the Founding Fathers, when they wrote the Constitution, they knew the threats that we were going to face, and they did everything they could, and I think that they were inspired, quite frankly.
Right.
So Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, all these judges are District of Columbia territorial courts. Matter of fact, on my two latest YouTube videos, there's one about bar members, and there's one about the District of Columbia courts are everywhere. There's the latest two videos that I published are about that. And so it goes through, you know, it's all ecclesiastical.
Right. So, I mean, okay. So if we, I mean, cause you know, Flynn is saying, Linwood is saying, a lot of these other people also are saying that we have been returned back to the Republic. It just, not everything has been done yet, right? Because they're still trying to clean up the mess. But if that happened, then we would be going back to state, right? So we would be going back to a statehood, because the federal government, you know, like I know that Trump early on was trying to return federal lands back to states, like out the gate. Because, you know, he didn't want to be managing them. He didn't want the feds to be managing them. He felt like the states should be managing them. And then he got, you know, huge people going against him, environmentalists, you know, that they were now unprotected lands, when that was not what was really going on, that the lands were part of the financial system of the state. And it was, if the state wants to run them and make money off of them as federal lands, then the state is responsible to pay for them and take care of them, not the federal government. So if this all, you know, plays back out, and there are some people that have talked about it, that, you know, that it's going to matter locally where you're at, because you're going to be part of the foundation of, you know, the new laws, right, that govern, because each place is different, you know, each place is unique. Everybody has different pros and cons in their area. They're going to have different issues that need to be cleaned up. So it'll have to be kind of a local basis, right? I mean, that's kind of like you were talking about before, statehood. So you want to talk about that a little bit, like what that would mean for people.
Well, it's really your government's in the county, your county sheriff, and that's where, you know, Sheriff Richard Mack, Robert David Steele has been doing this Rise America, and Sheriff Richard Mack has been going with him. And I would highly recommend Sheriff Richard Mack and the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, because Sheriff Richard Mack, that's his sole purpose, is to educate sheriffs about their constitutional duties. And so then you let him, let it come from another peace officer, and to educate them, and so that it's not coming from you, it's coming from another sheriff. And if they're not willing to go along with it, then elect someone else. Because the sheriff is really king of the county. Once you understand the law, the sheriff, you know, he can tell the feds, you know, and there's sheriffs that have done this. They tell the feds, you know, that, like Sheriff Richard Mack talks about, how they went and there was a bridge that got washed out in his county when he was county sheriff. And the feds were refusing to fix it, and the people were having to drive 30 miles to go around it. And so then the county went ahead and started fixing the bridge, and the feds came in and says, you can't do that. And the sheriff and Sheriff Richard Mack came out to him and says, if you mess with this, you're going to get to see the inside of our county jail. And they backed off right now. So.
Yeah, no, I heard that. I mean, the governor of Montana did that. What, in 2008, they created the Revolutionary Gun Act in the state of Montana, and they were getting all kinds of trouble from the Obama administration, and they just laid it out. If you try to come in here and you try to enforce federal regulations on our state, you will be going to jail. We will arrest you. So come on in. Come on in, and we'll take That's you right. immediately to jail.
So the county sheriff is the guy that we really need to have on our side. Your county is where your government is. And when we take over, when we get our counties back, then we'll have good government, really, is what it comes down to.
Because there's nothing. Yeah, Nevada just scares the holy hooey out of me. Like, I'm just getting more and more, like, terrified, you know, like, about living here, because it's been a cabal-run state, you know. I learned at the legislature when I was battling some legislation in 2009 that pertained to my kind of work, holistic medicine, that Lincoln had sold the Civil War debt with Nevada, the pink slip. That's why the federal government owns almost all the state and the water and everything else, you know, that's here. And that's why they keep putting in governors that are criminals. Gibbons, who was, you know, several years ago, he was an Air American pilot, Air America. He flew drugs. He was part of the drug dealers that gave all the military people drugs in their water and their food for experimental purposes in Vietnam. And he was our governor. And then we had Brian Sandoval, who worked for the Zionists, and it constantly said things in the newspaper about how he was going on another trip to Israel to do business, trying to bring business and jobs to Nevada, except for a corporation doesn't pay tax in Nevada. So, you know, all these things that they make people think is going on, that, you know, people are paying taxes for school and all this other stuff, they're not, because corporation doesn't pay tax in Nevada. And then now we have this governor, they call him Lickasack, and he's terrifying. You know, he has been, you know, dancing around with the Chinese Communist Party since way long before he got in office. And things are just getting really, really scary here. And we also have the GSR, which is the home of the cabal, right? That's where their pyramid is. That's where the pharaohs are. That's where the Freemasons are. They took it over from the bank. And if you go above the ground around the GSR, there's two things you see, because they're always telling people where they're at. And one is a swastika that can be seen by air, and the other one is a pyramid and some other weird stuff, some kind of satanic stuff. So on either side of the exit and entry from the freeways where this place is, and we also have this thing called the Eagle's Nest, and we know that, like, people like General Mattis has a house in there. I had a friend of mine who was a construction guy, and he got in there by accident because a guy that bought a house in there hired him to help do some remodeling. And so they were doing the remodeling. And then the next thing they know, General Mattis walks out of the house next door and he's like, "Hey, aren't you General Mattis?" And he goes, "Yeah, who are you?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm, you know, blah, 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 construction." And General Mattis leaves, comes back, and they have all this security, black ops security, like, remove my friend. They paid him for the job, but removed him off property because, you know, he wasn't actually authorized to be there. So we had where Obama was landing here, you know, every month. I was detained at the airport twice, scared the holy hell out of me with black ops. And it's just not a, good place, you know. The mafia, they gave it to the mafia because mafia did all the hits for, you know, the bad government and these people. So they gave them the state, and it's just, yeah. And in Nevada, we don't have a separate constitution for the state. It says something like, the federal constitution, which is not the federal constitution. It's not the constitution of the republic. It's the copy pasted constitution of the corporation. It says that it was adopted in behalf of the United States citizens. And so this is why here, like, they use laws against people. If you have to get a public defender, then they automatically try you as guilty, even if it's a negotiation of guilt, even if you're innocent. I mean, it's so criminal here, and people don't even know it because hidden behind, oh, yeah, I can open carry guns and all this other stuff, you know, is this whole other reality that goes on behind the system that's probably more sinister and dark than any other state.
Well, in my opinion, you have to understand history again. It goes back to 1861. The Southern states walked out of Congress and they ceased to have a quorum, and they've been operating under executive authority ever since. And I think, I don't know for sure, but I think certainly the states that joined the Union after, like, after 1900, for sure, they're all territories. They call themselves a state, but they're really a territory. And so it seems to me, from what you're describing, it sounds like Nevada is more honest than the rest of them, because they're basically openly saying that we're District of Columbia. And but again, there's still remedies that are available. And I don't know if you've seen this future map that I got a hold of by Scallion. You ever heard of Gordon Michael Scallion?
Yeah, the guy who talks about how that there are going to be earth changes and the way that it kind of redistributes the U.S.
Right. Yeah. He's I got his future map, and he shows Nevada being gone, all of it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is like, that's one of the things, you know, I have friends of mine that are like Hopi and have talked to them extensively about the reason why they built all their houses where they did because they were told, like, you know, a long time ago, because the Hopi are one of the only people that have survived the last five extinctions.
Right.
So they say we're in the fifth extinction now. And so they said that one day they'll wake up and they'll have water up to their housing mark, because they were told exactly how far the water would come up. And so they built their houses just past that so that they would have beachfront property. So,
yeah, so-
Yeah. Yeah. And Nevada's completely, like, you know, taken out in that whole thing. No, that's one of the reasons I would like to go to Wyoming, you know.
I think Wyoming's a great choice. But even Wyoming, there's going to be a seaport in Wyoming. So,
yeah, on the west side.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. And so I would.
I'm thinking about, like, Laramie.
Oh, that's way up north.
Yeah, it's on the eastern corner. Right. Kind of almost Colorado border. But I've been researching that myself, because one of the things I was, the suspicious observer, he was talking about it, like, if there's like a flip, and his top places in the United States would be, and he was saying, like, some of the mountain ranges there in Colorado, you know, anything high altitude kind of there in the center, were places that he liked.
Scallion's map shows Denver being a seaport.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm thinking if I can get up above that over there in Laramie, which is on the corner, you know, on the eastern corner.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that new seaport's going to be in Wyoming, but there is going to be a seaport in Wyoming.
I remember it being on the down Montana and Wyoming there on that west side.
Yeah.
There was like a big river thingy, right?
I think Wyoming is a great place. I really like Wyoming.
I'm thinking about it because the direction it's going in, right?
Right.
The direction it's going in, it's still really clean. It still has pretty damn good soil. You know, because there's still a lot of volcanic ash, you know, soil that hasn't been utilized or tapped into. It still has a lot of native herbal medicine plants that haven't been destroyed. That's what one of the big things I'm going for, because, you know, those seeds and stuff are going to have to be saved. So that's one of the things I want to do on land is I wish I could have started this year was to start planting plants and then being able to save seeds for medicinal plants, because, you know, plants have so many more medicinal properties than any kind of medicine that's ever been developed. And if we lose the medicinal plants, we're going to be in big trouble in the future. I mean, we're going to have a diversity of medicines, but they have to be put into other people's hands. And there was a native guy that I met a couple summers ago where I got to go do this cultural restoration walk in what they call a climax forest in Northern California. And that's when the forest has re-established itself in a way where it's sustainable by itself. It doesn't need anyone or anything, right? And it fixes everything within itself. And he said that even invasive plants are pushed out. So you might have to, he said that, you know, because we're losing so many plants, because we're losing so much topsoil, he said that we may have to have a panacea of using different plants from all over the world, you know, in order to be able to grow a density of plants that actually can help benefit the soil and help to grow with each other, right, to benefit them so that the medicine's stronger. So in the U.S., there's some people that don't really hang out with anymore that are large-scale land restoration people, because I don't have the same views as of them anymore. I have the views more of these native people where we're going to use whatever is the best thing to use, whether it comes from other parts of the world. We're not going to just stick to what was indigenous because it wasn't indigenous. You know, a lot of plants were brought from South America up here. You know, a lot of the corns and a lot of the other stuff. So I've been messing around with things like sorghum and all kinds of different stuff as helping the soil to kind of rehabilitate itself and generate itself. So I've broke with the masses here in the United States, and I'm willing to use whatever plants are necessary, even invasive plants, in order to get the soil held together, get nutrient back into the soil. Because the only way that the aquifers fill, right, is if there's root systems. Once you take out the root systems, then there's no way that the water can actually, when it rains, penetrate through the dirt back into the aquifers. So first thing that has to happen on a lot of these lands that people have is that the land has to be restored with all kinds of plant material that we can get our hands on, so that we have grasses and different plants and all these things growing together, creating these really amazing root systems where they can, like sponges, hold on to more water and they can traffic the water and clean it, right? Clean it and filter it so that it puts it back into under our feet, right? So we have control of the water. That's the big secret that nobody knows. Like, people want to talk about the problem with fresh water and how the West Coast is becoming a drought. It's because we have built so many housing developments that people aren't even living in, and rerouted all the water on the roads, where we could have been creating houses with dips in them that have more natural areas that actually could hold large amounts of water and properly planted them so that the maximum amount of water is filtered back down into the aquifers. So that's the, I think in all of this, like, I think about, like, what, you know, like, you think about law and other stuff, and obviously food, but I think, like, long-term, how do we get pieces of property redeveloped in ways where they're putting water back in their own aquifers? And then how do we utilize those plants for food and medicine and, you know, have this really great panacea of just amazing stuff and get that soil, like, built up and have natural water coming in? And I'll recommend something to listeners that will blow your mind. And this is the stuff that I lay in bed at night thinking about. There is a documentary online that you can watch for free, and it's called Green Gold. And it's about a man, an Asian man, who has been going out to deserts where there's nothing because, see, the bad guys have destroyed so much stuff. They just have decimated huge amounts of areas and soil and taken the water away. And this man goes in and uses big equipment and literally rearranges, re-terraforms, like, huge pieces of land, and over 5 years turns it into a utopia where it even gets rain. Because turns out Victor Schallenberger talked about a lot of this stuff back, you know, in the day of Rudolf Steiner. A lot of those guys were friends, you know. And Victor Schallenberger did, he went to, this is before he was captured by Hitler and forced to develop, you know, help Hitler develop the UFOs, right? Because he'd been kind of messing, Victor Schallenberger had kind of been messing around with propulsion way long before most people. So he had, like, a different scientific take on how water works. He said that, you know, fish don't swim, they're swammed by the water. So they develop a way to be so that the water actually moves them effortlessly, and the same with birds. And so he had kind of his own idea, but I forget when he went. It was like some country like Denmark, like one of those long skinny ones where it has a very defined north and a very defined south. And at one point in time, the south and the north operated, they operated kind of together as far as farming and food, you know, there was, like, no difference. And then all of a sudden the south part started to become dry and it started to go through drought. And so the bottom half, the king became, you know, like, super concerned because the people were starting to freak out, right? So they hire Victor Schallenberger to come there. And back then, you know, they would go there and live, right? Because they'd, you know, have to study the whole thing and try to figure out what's going on. And after a while, he finally wrote his paper on it. And what he found was that the very simple thing happened, was that they went from using wood plows and wood tools on the soil to metal. And the metal was killing the microbes. It was heating up the soil so much that the microbes were dying. And then he started to learn that the microbes have a relationship to the water. So if you start to heat up those microbes, like, they don't really attract the rainfall that they would if the microbes were in the ground. So there's almost like this paranormal thing, right, that goes on that we can't see. So he said, just turn the plows back into wood plows, start going back to using the wood plows and the wood tools. And they did. And within a year, everything livened back up and everything was great and water returned to that area.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But like you said, everything that we've been taught in school by them is a lie.
Well, they've taught us what we need to know to operate in their system, but they haven't taught us everything, have they?
Right. They've taught us how to die in their system.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's about it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Not thrive. But, yeah, so I always think about that. I think about, you know, how do we get people who have land? How do we get them, their land, going super good so that they're their land is already filling up the aquifers underneath their land, right? So when you go there and you're ready to grow food, you just got major water coming in from every direction, a utopia, and you don't have to like reroute it, right? It's all there. It's already taken care of because you're working with nature, right? And when you start putting that water back into your land and you start growing plants to support all that, then you start to support the wildlife, which is super helpful to your farm and your food, you know, super helpful to helping plant nature around you, you know, super helpful with controlling the atmosphere, helping to, you know, make the biosphere and all that stuff better. So, but yeah, I think a lot about, that's all the stuff that I keep up at night because I think about Steiner's work and I just think about, like, he talked about how in the future, you know, there'd be very few places that people could actually grow anything. And that, you know, it would take hundreds of years for people who, only the people who had the right information could teach other people.
You know, this stuff with the law that I learned about, if there's anything I've learned about is that they lay awake at night coming up with this stuff. And it's good to know that there's someone else laying awake at night coming up with alternatives to it.
I do. Sometimes I just wake up in the middle of the night, you know, and I, my teacher who passed last night, I woke up twice and I was thinking about like how crazy that this system kind of is that they have operating, and how he used to tell me all the time that it was reverse and opposite. You know, like whatever you think it is, it's the reverse and it's the opposite, because that's how they take the creator's magic and remake the magic into Satanism, right? As they mirror it. So Kelsey, I was showing her, whenever I take people out in herbs, you know, and I teach them about plants and stuff like that, first thing I teach them about is nature's pentagram. Because if you take an apple, and we're taught, this is how controlled your thinking is. When you take an apple, you're taught to cut it from the stem down to the bottom. You're trained to do that. You know why?
I don't know.
Well, the secret, the reason why Eve ate the apple, right, was because the secret was the pentagram inside, the imprint of Venus. So it's nature's pentagram, right? Nature has a pentagram. So all these little flowers that have medicine, you know, that are usually what we call in biodynamics imprinted by, you know, Venus, usually have five petals on them, right? Those are pentagrams. But they've taken the things in nature and then they've mirrored them and opposed them, and then they turn it into something else. But they've taken the creator's magic, the creator's medicine, and then, you know, like used it against us. But if you take an apple and you don't cut it from stem to bottom like you're taught, right? Because I watch people all the time. I'll say, well, then, you know, why do you skin it from top to bottom? Why do you cut it from top to bottom? Because there's something that's hidden in plain view. If you turn the apple over on its side and you cut through the center, it's a pentagram. It's Venus. And in that instance, nature's magic is not bad. It's beneficial and healing. But they don't want you to know that. So I always tell people, like, the reason why the apple is bad and in the Bible, and Eve ate it, well, there was knowledge in there. Well, what was the knowledge? It wasn't a simple apple. What was the secret? The secret was the pentagram inside.
Yeah, that's the first I heard about that.
So the thing is like in nature, you have all of these things. You see the structure of all the different planets operating in the plants. You see all of these symbols operating in nature. It's utilized by nature, right? Because it's a frequency. It produces an energy field that has been designed by the creator, right? creator design creation so that we could learn how to be co-creators. But the thing is, like, nobody knows anything about nature. So how in the hell could you actually be your own creator in this world if you don't even understand the library of information that was left behind by the creator? That's and good. All of the secrets that are there. And this is the big thing that they're wiping out.
Of course.
They're wiping out nature and they're wiping out our food systems because they don't want us to know what they've done, that they've stole the original creator's work and they've turned it into something very dark and nasty.
That's interesting. I've never looked at it that way, but I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I haven't looked at it that way before.
Okay, well, I invite you to take an apple and tilt it so the stem and the bottom are on the sides and cut through the middle and take a look at that and then send me an email.
Okay, I will. I will.
And you'll be like,
I'm going to have to do that now because just to check it out.
I know, because you're like, you know, when you get information, you're like a pit bull. You got to like grab onto it and shake it around and mash it and see what comes out of it. But a lot of the really good medicinal plants. And so you can always also find plants like yarrow and different other plants that have little five petals, you know, that they're going to have a very good Venus imprint. And so you can actually plot Venus to find out, you know, when are going to be better times to harvest that plant for medicine and that it's going to be stronger. And Venus is like a, you know, can be a very good plant. But the pentagram is also attached to, you know, the star, right? The morning star. It all kind of connects together as well. So the morning star wasn't Lucifer. The morning star was plant medicine that was designed from the creator for you. And then these bad people, they took that magic and that medicine and they turned it into something really horrible where they kill people and eat people and torture people. Oh, anyway, we're at the end of the show. Sorry, it was kind of heavy towards the end.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Glenn. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
You got held up. Still out there?
You going back in?
There's still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to...